to the Chicago Tomahawk. I'm Mike. I got my line mate Matt with me. And today we're going to go over the ending of the first round. We're going to go over the beginning of the second round. And we're going to give you some NHL news. So to start off with, we're going to go over the Wild and Blues series. The Wild, I thought, you know, had a little bit too much offense for the Blues, that the Blues couldn't handle it. That wasn't the case. It turns out that the Wild didn't have enough secondary scoring. Kirill the Thrill did show up, but it just wasn't enough. The experience of the Blues shone through, and they move on. Matt, do you think that the Blues are kind of a dark horse for the playoffs, that they can get past the second round and maybe make a deep push?
Yeah, I honestly could see the Blues beating the favorite Colorado Avalanche the next round. I'm kind of on that. I've been on it for a while. I thought the Blues did very well at the trade deadline, get Nick Leddy, another depth defenseman, and they added Brandon Saad at the beginning of the year, who, you know, he's not a big-time goal scorer in the season, but he does show up in the playoffs. So I think that the Blues could definitely upset the Colorado Avalanche this round.
Yeah, I think we've both been talking about that, that we've actually been kind of predicting this matchup, and here we are.
Yep.
And I'm really looking forward to that. I was not a fan of the Preds Avs because it just was not going to be competitive, I thought, and it wasn't. And the Avs just steamrolled them, and it wasn't entertaining at all. While you've got, you know, the rest of the series going 6-7 games, and you just didn't know what was going to happen, you know. And I'm glad to see that this is going to be moving on, and this is going to be a great series. So the Kings and Edmonton, you know, Edmonton got by with their primary scoring. You know, Connor McDavid practically willed them past the first round. They made it. The Kings, they couldn't shut them down when they needed to. So Edmonton moves on, going to play Calgary. And you know what, man? Calgary looked really good on paper. I thought that they were going to have a pretty easy time with Dallas. That wasn't the case. And Dallas, who knows, man? Maybe did they turn into a better team than what they were the entire season coming into the playoffs? That's possible. But what Calgary team is going to show up? Is it going to be this team that was manhandling teams during the season, and then, or the team that had a hard time with Dallas in the first round of the playoffs? What do you think?
Yeah, man. I'll tell you what, that I did not see that coming. I thought Calgary would handle them at least maybe 5.
Right.
And they had a tough time. And I give credit to Jake Oettinger, man. Dallas found a gem in net. They had like 4 goalies at the beginning of the year. Remember, we're like, how's this going to work? This dude started off in the AHL. And he was awesome, man. He took him to game 7, and Johnny Hockey buried him, but I think he had like 67 saves that game or something. That's unheard of.
Incredible.
It's crazy.
Incredible.
Yeah, but they got a good goalie for the future. They got a good young core, so they're going to be okay in a couple years.
How do you see Edmonton in the next round?
So, you know what, man? I really wanted the Kings to win just for Dustin Brown. I was hoping he can get, like, his last dance type of thing. They're all getting old. Kopitar's getting old. Doughty, and I know Doughty wasn't playing. Jonathan Quick had a good playoff. But Connor McDavid, man, he, you know what? He's sick of losing, and he wants to be a champion. You could tell the way he played that game. It was all him.
Yeah.
But now the Battle of Alberta, they're calling it. It's cool. We're American. We don't really notice that battle as much as all the Canadians up there. But right. I think this could go 7. The way that the Flames played Dallas, it was a little bit concerning to me, being an outsider. But if McDavid's playing like that, Calgary's going to be playing more defense than offense. But the Flames need to get their top 3 guys going. And Jacob Markstrom's got to be incredible against that top line. And Mike Smith, too, even for the Oilers. He's got to be good, too. He's got to be very good.
100%. So Pittsburgh and New York. New York came out on top. They won, I believe, 3 straight do-or-die games. And you know what? It kind of shows a lot of character on their end, and Pittsburgh just did not have enough to put him away. They lost 4-3 in the last game. You know, are we looking at a time for Pittsburgh to kind of retool this team?
Yes, I think so. I think Malkin is up for a contract. I believe Letang is also. I'm hearing a lot of rumors Letang might want to go play back home in Montreal, but I don't think that would really make sense for the Canadiens right now. They're young and kind of in the transitioning phase, kind of like the Blackhawks.
Right.
But, I don't know, man. Sid Crosby was great. I know he got hurt that one game from that hit from Trouba. And that really kind of deflated the Pens' momentum, I believe. I mean, that guy, he's so important to that team. And another thing I didn't really like, I know Jarry played Game 7. You know what, man? I think I would have left Louis Domingue. He was rolling. He got him there. Give him that respect. Don't throw a cold goalie in there who has no games in a long time. I kind of think that was a coaching mistake. I think I would have went with Louis Domingue just because he's had all that game reps and he's been good. He was really good. And they went with Jarry, the guy who, he was hurt for a while. I guess he's been practicing a lot, but practicing isn't gameplay. And I think the Rangers took advantage of that.
Now we're going to talk about the series that everybody's talked about. That's Tampa Bay and Toronto. Man, oh, man, oh, man. You know, Tampa Bay shows why they're champions. And I will tip my hat to Toronto because they were a different team this year than they were last year. I think that this team got better. If they would have played, this team would have played Montreal last year, they would have rolled over them. Unfortunately, they play, in that really tough, Atlantic division.
Yeah.
And, Florida's number one there. They won the President's Trophy. And so Toronto drew Tampa. And that went 7 games. It was an incredible series. And maybe they're not as sick as losing as Connor McDavid is. But, which is kind of hard to say because, McDavid pretty much just willed Edmonton. And, but notably, Austin Matthews, John Tavares, Mitch Marner, they all were, I think they had 0 points in that last game. And yeah, sure. It's a lot to say when, they all did have a great series. I think Tavares had 6 points. I think Matthews might've had 8 points. I think Marner had 8 or 9 points. And, but they didn't score in that do or die game, that do or die situation. And that hurt them, because that's what they're there for. And you know what? I'm going to say it, man. That's what David Camp was brought onto that team for, to take them over the hump. And, he didn't do it, So for all those David Camp lovers out there, he did exactly what he did. And that's 0 offense when the team needs him most. So, Matt, where do you see Toronto, kind of going forward from this and trying to grow from this Tampa loss?
Quite honestly, man, I don't know what they're going to do because these guys are locked up. Hey, they're top guys. They showed up. I think they showed up. The game 7, they didn't have as many shots as they wanted, but, they played tough to the end. It wasn't like, a couple years ago where they're down in the period and it's like they're all moping and pouting and they were like lethargic on the ice, but they played to the last whistle. I give them credit. Campbell played good. It's just, sometimes they ran into the wrong team in the first round. And into the
It's kind of hard to believe that after all of this, that this is what happens, to Toronto.
Yeah. It's almost like we wish we were playing West. If we ran into Nashville, we would have probably swept them too. But it's sometimes the matchups are just bad. And Vasilevskiy, when he loses a game, he's undefeated. He's like 17-0 or 16-0 or something. It's unbelievable. And his game 7 record is also unbelievable. He's got shutout. I think he's got like a 3-game shutout streak that just ended. Toronto scored on him. But I got to give Tampa credit. I mean, they bring in guys every year just to replace these guys they got to get rid of. I think that Nick Paul they got, he was great in that game 7.
Yeah.
And Brandon Hagel, first playoff series ever. I thought he was pretty decent.
He set up that big goal in game 6, big of goal. Course, game 7.
And another Blackhawk on the other end, David Camp, takes a terrible high sticking penalty.
Yeah.
And that turned the whole game 7. So it's just those little things, man, that they snowball. And against good teams, like, you can't do that.
Right.
That's like Vancouver a couple years ago. they'd have a good lead on the Blackhawks, and then they'd start getting chippy and I don't like pretending to be like they're tough guys. The Hawks would.
So Matt, Tampa and Florida are going to meet. This is going to be a pretty big matchup. This is like the battle for Florida, you know, because Tampa's pretty much been running the show down there, and Florida is looking to kind of get out of that shadow and do their own. They won the President's Trophy. They've got two of the top players of the NHL and Jonathan Huberdeau and Alexander Barkov. Can this team get past Tampa?
This is the year they could do it, but I'm still going with Tampa. I just think the goaltending matchup favors Tampa.
100%. I'm going to go with Tampa in this one too. So, all right. Sorry, everybody. We're having some technical difficulties with the recording, but I'm going to go on because I just want to finish this up for you guys. So we're talking about, the Vegas Golden Knights, and, you know, DeBoer got fired. I think that the GM should be fired as well, with a lot of the questionable moves that he's made over the years. I would even say starting from last year with the decision with Fleury and how that relationship ended, and then considering what happened this year, you've got $14 million on LTIR, and you got to drop two guys just to bring one guy off. You know, it just didn't make sense to me. So DeBoer's the fall guy, but I believe the GM should be fired as well. Patrice Bergeron will retire, or he's going to return to the Bruins. I don't see this guy going to another team. He's a Bruin to the end. He might have some health issues. So, you know, hopefully he gets it figured out. He was a great, great player. Even to this day, he's still a force at the center position, and really played the position well and played it right. Vegas, Mark Stone is likely going to have back surgery. And here's another thing. Vegas was practically out of it at the end of the season, yet they brought him back to play. He was limited to 37 games this season. They should have just shut him down and had the surgery maybe 2 months ago when they had an opportunity. And then he could have had the summer to, you know, take it easy, end of the season to rehab, and then still have somewhat of a summer to try to get his fitness back. But they haven't mentioned when he's going to have this surgery, but he is going to have surgery, this offseason, which is, which is really, really disheartening, because they could have done it a while ago. Robin Lehner had shoulder surgery, and he doesn't, he expects to make a full comeback. And hopefully, comes back to being the player that they wanted, because essentially they traded Fleury because they wanted Lehner to be their number one goalie. And Lehner gets hurt at the end of the season when they need him most, and he's not able to fill that gap of what they needed with Fleury. At least what you had with Fleury was he was consistent. He was healthy, you know, for a very long time. He's still healthy. And they move on from him, which is really questionable to me. So lastly, Braden Point is doubtful for game one. Now, this is a huge injury for Tampa Bay, because Braden Point is a huge playoff performer for them. He has shown up big time in the past couple years, and he's not going to be available to start this series versus Florida, this tough series. I wonder who's going to take over for that scoring for him. Hopefully Kucherov can step up, but this is a really, really big miss for Tampa. This could be one of those things where them not getting scoring for Braden Point tips the scales in favor for Florida. So we'll see, how that plays off. Really looking excited to that. First game is Tuesday night. See how that goes. And Fleury says he would consider re-signing with the Wild. He wants to play one more season. He likes the atmosphere there. He likes the conditions. Likes the team, likes the locker room. Says the people around town have been very, very kind to him, very nice to him. So he likes it there. He wants to play one more season. So we'll see how that goes. All right, everybody. That's all that we got for you tonight. After we get some games going this week, we've got another podcast for you on Thursday. I'm sorry, it'll be Friday morning. We're going to record it Thursday night, release it Friday morning, and let you guys know how this plays out. Got a lot of good matchups coming up. I can't wait. Got Edmonton, Calgary, Tampa, Florida, St. Louis, and Colorado, and New York and Carolina. So here we go. It's going to be a great time, and I'll catch you guys on the next one. This is the Tomahawk, and we're out of here.